It's time for the truth. I'd like to invite you to praise, honor, and glorify Jesus today as we study His precious Word. We're going to be, once again, in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we'll be reading the first 11 verses. Seems like we've repeated that this will be the third week, but that's just fine because there's so much in there, we don't want to miss any of it. Jonah chapter 1. Be reading verse 1 through verse 11, and while you're looking that up in your Bible so that you can read along with me, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you as well to the services that we have, and Sunday school starts at 9:30 each Sunday morning, and 10:35 is a church service. Then we have Bible study here at the church at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, and Bible study again here at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon for the ladies' Bible study. And then Wednesday night, we have another Bible study, 7 o'clock. Please that you come. We just love studying the Word of God. And so if you can be with us at some time, why, please that you just join along, because it's a great time to study the Word. Now, if the only time that you can study with us is for this 30 minutes, that's great as well, because each time we open the Word of God, we learn more about Jesus. And so please that you be faithful to the Word of God, to the house of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us not forsaking the assembling. Please come into the house of God, study and search the Word of God. Now that you've had an opportunity, and I hope that you have, to open your Bibles to read along with me, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, and so that the ship was in danger of being broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? From where comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them so. Then said they unto him, What shall we do for thee? And the sea may be, that the sea may be calm for us, for the sea raged and was tempest. Now let me read. I said we was going to 11, but let's go on to 12. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm for you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to study the Word of God and enjoy the precious Word. This sweet book of Jonah, as we know, is such an example of you, Jesus, and what you have done for us in the death, burial, and resurrection. And please, Lord, that we don't just laugh it off or talk about it as just being a fish story, but we take it very, very seriously, that we know without a question that it's of you and speaking of you. And I ask that through the study of this word that people would be drawn to you. Because you see, I know by the power of the Word of God, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that people are drawn unto you, Lord Jesus. We want that to happen today. Please, that all come to know you and are drawn closer unto you today as we look at this precious, sweet word. Please guide us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the command. Last week we had gotten far enough to kind of see Jonah running away. We talked the week before concerning how important it is that we don't look at Jonah as just being a fish story, and as most fish stories are something that's just a story that's been exaggerated. Well, this is a fish story that is not exaggerated. It's the truth. If we search it and study it, most of the time, too, a man will catch a fish. This time, a fish caught a man. And so it's a little bit different than most fish stories that you might hear. And again, this story is true. And I want you to never forget that and never miss that. We've talked about some of the books of the Scripture that Satan hates. You know, we've talked about Genesis, that he hated Genesis. And we talked about Jonah, that he hates Jonah. We talked about he hates the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and he hates the book of Revelation in the New Testament. We kind of forgot one. There's another one that he hates very much, too, as he hates all the words of the truth, but some that he especially hates, and that's the book of Daniel, which in order, if you've ever studied the book of Revelation, you studied Daniel. Or if you ever studied Daniel, you studied the book of Revelation. And so there's many things in the Scripture that he just hates and despises. And those are some of them. And please, I hope that sparks your interest so that you're willing to look at them, to study them, and to search them out, that you can see the power and the presence of the Lord in them, that again, you'll be saved. I want you to come to know Jesus today if you don't know him already. Please don't wait one more day. One thing that I want to share with you as well, last week, we talked about how the Son of Man had to be lifted up, and we have a picture back in the book of Genesis concerning the Lord Jesus being lifted up as a serpent. And I said Genesis last week. It is in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. You know, sometimes we get in trouble when we test our memories, don't we? Well, this is one of those times. And so when we looked back and I realized that I had misquoted that scripture, I wanted to bring it to you. I'm ashamed of you, because I was hoping that I'd get some calls, say, "Hey, Larry, that's not in there." But you know, I didn't hear from you. And so you listen very carefully. I'm going to read for you because I want you to know right where it's at in Numbers chapter 21, reading from verse 4 through 9. "And they journeyed from the Mount of Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of their way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth for light bread, of this light bread.'" It kind of got tired of the diet, sounds like. "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And therefore," it continues in the seventh verse, "and therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it up on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now that's what I was talking about last week, and you know, we talk many times about this book of Jonah, how it speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so we know that Jesus had to die on the cross. We have the picture in the book of Matthew and in Luke, now that Jesus himself spoke of the book of Jonah. And so when we look at just those scripture verses alone, and we know that the book of Jonah is real and talks of the 3 days and the three nights of being in the belly of the fish, and that's Matthew 12, verse 40, and Luke chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Now as you look at those verses of scripture and Jesus himself talking about Jonah, we know that this is true. It's not some phony little story. It's not some little fable to tell your children and everybody laughs about it and goes on. It is a very serious story. It is something that's so very important, and we must not miss the picture we have. Well, as Jonah here is a picture of the Lord Jesus, so was this serpent as far as lifting it up, and people look unto this brass serpent and would live, as the Scripture said back in Numbers 21. Well, we know that's a picture of the Lord Jesus, as Jesus in Matthew spoke of Jonah. So here in John chapter 3, now I'm going to read several verses because it's actually in the very end of this text, but I didn't want to, in the middle of it anyway, but I didn't want to miss it. We're going to go to John chapter 3 and listen very carefully when we get to the part that speaks of the lifting up. And in John chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 through verse 18. Now, we're going to have a lot of verses this morning, so I ask that you listen very carefully. I want you to see how important the book of Jonah is, how important the Word of God, Old and New Testament together. We've read Numbers, now we're going to read John in the New Testament. John chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from and whence it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we've seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now listen very carefully to the 14th verse. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Back to the 14th verse. As Jesus himself, talking to Nicodemus, said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, talking about his own death upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, my friend, I hope if nothing more that you learn that this book of Jonah is a sweet book, and I hope that we can tie together the Old and the New Testament for you so that you can see the importance, and never try to get rid of the Old Testament, or never think that the Old Testament is not necessary. We did something in the Sunday school class here years ago now, I guess. It's been a while. But we looked up in the New Testament how much of the New Testament is nothing but sweet verses of Scripture, of quotes from Old Testament people. Old Testament books, Old Testament prophets. As those words came forward and proclaimed by Peter and Paul and by Jesus himself, oh, don't ever think the Old Testament isn't important, because if you have never studied the Old Testament, you don't understand the New. You need to look at that sweet, precious Word. And we have it again as we stay with these same verses in John chapter 8, in verse 28. And then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. To be lifted up. You know, for man to know, as John chapter 3 says, to be born again, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a very wise man, and Nicodemus knew of the serpent that was lifted up because he had read of that. He knew of that as that serpent was lifted up, and as the Israelites looked unto that serpent, after they'd been bitten by the serpent, they could look up to that brass serpent and they would live. Well, you know, we look up to the cross of Calvary, and you can live today. You must look up to the cross, and please don't miss it. And I'm sorry last week, as I told you, it was the book of Genesis. It is in Numbers chapter 21, and it's so important that we know that the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, you know, as we looked at the scripture verses, and of course the 17th verse of Jonah is the one in chapter 1, tells us And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Again, as the Son of Man was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He must be lifted up upon the cross and die upon the cross. He must go into that grave and be in that grave 3 days and three nights, as we talked about last week, and yet saw no, his body did not decay, no corruption, and then he come out of that grave alive. And he was a witness to many people. And they could see the nail-scarred hands, my friend. Jesus is alive. And right now, he's in the presence of his Father in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So please, today, that you realize you're a sinner, you realize you're lost, and you realize you need to be saved, come to Jesus today. And you meet him at that cross. Because as these people would look unto the serpent, look up unto him, as the Son of Man be lifted up, you look up and you live. Right now you're dying, you're lost in your sin. Please that you look to the Lord Jesus today and be saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please come to Jesus today. Please come. You know, Jonah had a message to this city of Nineveh. And that message was a strong message. It was, you're lost and you're dying in your sin. My message hasn't changed a bit. The message of every preacher today should not change. It should be that very strong message that you're dying in your sin and you're going to spend eternity totally, completely separated from God in hell. The fires of hell, the darkness of hell. The worm never dieth. Now please, that you understand the condition that your heart's in today if you've never come to Jesus. And there's no one of you that can't come, whosoever. Please that you come. Do you feel that knocking and that drawing of the Holy Spirit upon your heart today? Please that you come to Jesus and be saved. You know, this man Jonah, we kind of went down through it just a few verses and kind of found out that he was running away a little bit. And we're gonna back up just a little bit because we're going to look at this man, Jonah. And you know, Jonah, the name Jonah, I don't know if you know what that means, but the definition of Jonah means, the meaning of it is dove. Now, dove is a symbol of peace and of mildness, of harmlessness. And you know, the first time that we have a record of a dove, and it talks about it, is back in Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, reading from verse 8 to 11, we'll find, and you think now I've shifted clear back. Well, I sure I have, but I look at it with me. Genesis chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. And it begins, "Also he sent forth a dove from him to see the waters were abated from the face of the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. He stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth." Oh, the flood, when all the waters were across the earth, and in no place, there was no hill that the water that the land peaked out beyond the water. Everything was covered. And as Noah was saved and his family, his three sons and their wives and Noah and his wife, as they were saved in that ark. And yet when it came to rest, and he sent out a raven first, but then he sent out a dove. And the dove came back the first time, but the second time he sent the dove out, it came back with this leaf, and he knew that there was life. And so you see, Jonah, in having the name meaning dove, he has life, telling these people of life. He has a word of joy. He has a word. Can you imagine how Noah felt when he saw that olive leaf in that dove's mouth? There's life out there again. After such a great destruction of all the earth, yet there's life. Well, my friend, if you'll come back to the cross now, let me bring you back to the cross one more time, and I'll probably do it many more times before we're finished today. There's life in Jesus. Jonah had that message. He had a message to take out to this city of Nineveh. And his name stood for that. It stood for peace, for joy, for life itself. The good news
That's what that olive leaf was. It was good news to Noah because it meant there was life. Well, I got good news. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Will you meet him at the cross? Please, will you meet Jesus? You know, the dove also was something that was used. And back in Leviticus chapter 5, or on further from Genesis, in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 7, I told you we was going to be using our Bibles today. Leviticus 5, 7, "And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves or two pigeons unto the Lord for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering." The reason I read that verse of Scripture is because the dove was a very common bird, a very someone very poor, could always have a dove for an offering. You see, everyone that come, if you'd study through the book of Exodus and on into Leviticus, you'll find that that at that time, because Jesus had not come to the cross yet, you must bring an offering, an offering for your sin, an offering for your trespass, and as they read through this, a sin offering and another for a burnt offering, and you could bring two doves. Well, again, the dove stood for peace, stood for joy, stood for life. And when you have your sins forgiven, sins taken away, and the only way you can do that is to meet Jesus and meet Jesus at the cross. Because you see, he died there for you. And he's alive. Well, Jesus himself come to seek and to save those that are lost. He wanted each and every one to come to Jesus. He makes it so simple. But you see, he didn't come in all that as a king could come, as he had the ability to come in the most beautiful robe with the most gorgeous crown upon his head, the rings and the bracelets that he could have. But Jesus didn't do that, and even his parents, as they brought him in for the cleansing ceremony. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law. And we have in Luke chapter 2, in verse 22 and 23, when the days of her purification, speaking of Mary, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And he offered a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus himself used the dove as he took care of the sin offering, the cleansing, the purifying, the presenting themselves, and to present this young child, this male child, Jesus. Brought him to the temple and offered a dove. Every time it represents peace, it represents life, as that olive leaf did to Noah as he saw that. Jesus means that to you. And please, to the poor, to the rich, but Jesus came as a poor carpenter's son. There's no one left out. I hope the riches that you're holding today are not keeping you from coming to Jesus. I hope the poverty of today, and you know, it's hard to imagine why people stay away from Jesus, why they stay away from the cross of Calvary, why they don't listen. There is not one good reason. There is no reason in this world why you don't come to Jesus. You can come because you're one of the whosoever. So please today that you come to Jesus. You know, sometimes I hear some things, and sometimes you go for a little while and you don't hear much about as you folks listen to this radio program. But I want to hear from you, and I want to know that you trusted in Jesus today. That finally, Larry, I have listened, and I have listened, and you've talked about the message that Jonah is preaching. You've talked about how Jonah himself represents Jesus. His name tells us of Jesus, because he is life. He is as the dove. Now please that you come to Jesus today, and would you sit down and write me a note and just send it here at the church? You know, if you'd send it here, Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Don't let me miss anything, because I want to get that letter. I want to hear and know that you've trusted in Jesus so I can pray for you, so I can help you to grow in any way that I can. Please, that you trust in Jesus. And you would go one step further as we've looked at this short introduction here. Jonah, the son of the Amittai. Amittai means truth. Again, another picture. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. You see, the word Jonah means dove, means peace, means life. And even his father's name, Amittai. Amittai means truth. And Jesus is the truth. It's so beautiful to see the picture that we have before we ever start into the lesson. And again, we've kind of backed up because we got a little further than that last week and just kind of letting you know that Jonah didn't do maybe what he was supposed to do. But he is a picture. And that picture even is in his name. He said in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me." Arise. First, because we're going to probably begin with the word arise next week and take a look at that. I want to share with you just a little bit where Jonah was sent to go. The city of Nineveh. In the reports of what they have of this city, the population, approximately 600,000. There were 1,200 towers, each being about 200 feet high. Nimrod is the one that has claimed to have built this great and wicked city, as Nimrod was a very wicked man. It was about 60 miles in circumference. And they would grow enough crops within this area to feed this 600,000. The walls was 100 feet high, wide enough that they could take 3 chariots wide down through the walls. It was a city of beauty as far as man is concerned. The city of Nineveh, a great city. Others say that the width of the city, in another way to look at it, is 3 miles long and 1.5 miles wide. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a great city, and that city was about 500 miles away? And I'm not sure the road that Jonah was going to take, but from the city of Joppa to the city of Nineveh, if you just draw a straight line, you're between 450 and 500 miles away. God called Jonah to do that. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. Their wickedness has come upon me. Arise. We're all told to go. And you know, as we looked at the name of Jonah today, as we've looked at the size of the job that Jonah's called to do, sometimes we're not really prepared or ready to go. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you must come to Jesus today. You've got to trust in Jesus this day. He went to the cross for you. He died for you. He faced the grave for you. And he came out of that grave that we may have life. And whether you want to talk about the crucifixion, his death, his burial, his precious blood and the importance that it means to us, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the place in the home of Jesus, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. If you'll come to Jesus and meet him at the cross, I guarantee you he'll save you today. Repent, turn from your sins, and be saved. Because he died for you. He died for you. Now, Christian, that's a story we need to be telling. And that's a question I'm going to close with. What are you going to do about Jesus?